Merkle Media.
Seemingly entrance to the Hollow Earth at a place that's like blocked off where you're not allowed to fly airplanes. I'm into all of it, is what I'm trying to say. If it's Antarctica related, I'm interested in it. I don't know what the fuck is going on down there.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
for a
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior.
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How's everybody feeling? Hopefully good. You're maybe listening to this while you're doing something productive, I hope. You're at the gym. You're out walking. You're working in your garden. Whatever. Let's multitask, shall we? Thank you all for the amazing, nice words of support via email. All you that requested the earthquake kit, that requested the free helium miner. I took inbound, literally, in the thousands of emails. I have nobody to blame but myself. I said, send me emails, and you did, and that's fine. And I responded to all of them and added you to the list. But if you are still interested in getting that earthquake kit, it's just a list that I made for these earthquake kits that I would build and sell. And if you are interested in getting that list, just email me. The Octopus of Global Control at protonmail.com is the best email address for that. And I will reply back. Just put earthquake list or helium miner in the subject line, or both if you want both. And we can definitely do that. What'd you think of that interview with Peter Saddington? He's a pretty interesting dude. I'm always impressed with people that are out there actually doing it. And then making it, hitting it big with some of their startup companies, and then taking that liberty of saying, all right, fine, I'm going to invest this money and do more of these things and more of these things. So I had a great talk with him before we started recording. He knows exactly what we're up against with these maniacs and the World Economic Forum and all that stuff. They are not on board with this. Peter is not on board with it. I like that. You never know. You never know who knows all this stuff, right? You never know who's into it and who's not. But I was pleasantly surprised to hear that. So if you guys are still interested in that helium miner, the option is there. It still stands. Just email me, the Octopus of Global Control at Proton Mail. Just put helium miner at protonmail.com, I should say. Put helium miner in the subject, and I'll set you up. So. Thank you again to our sponsors. Chemical Free Body has been great to us. I've been vocal about me taking his Total Energy and Detox bundle, that they sell, and he sent it to me, And I took it, and it's 90 days, and it leaned me out pretty good. But then I ordered more. I wound up getting more Green 85 and everything. And you know, I don't know if their website says, I'd have to go back and check and see if it says anything about weight loss, like that it could create weight loss. Cause I don't remember Tim ever saying my product is really good for weight loss. I don't remember him ever saying that, but I was at the vet a couple days ago taking my cat in, and they had a scale out in the lobby. And while my cat was in there, I jumped up on the scale and I looked at it and I was like, damn, that must be, the scale is wrong. There's no way I'm this light. And my wife was like looking at, she's like, what is that? I was like, I go, yeah, this scale must be wrong. Right. And I'm thinking, why would they have an incorrect scale in the lobby of a vet? That seems like it shouldn't be there. Right. So it's probably not wrong. So then I went the next day to the gym and they had a scale. I said, well, let me weigh myself there. And I weighed myself. I've lost 14 pounds since I started taking this stuff. I don't have 14 pounds to lose. I actually had to stop doing cardio after I discovered this. Well, it was a couple of days ago I discovered this. I can't lose any more weight. So this is not Tim James, owner of Chemical Free Body, saying this. This is just me, user of it. One of the side effects of using Chemical Free Body products for me, and I'm just saying me, I'm not trying to say that this is going to be your experience, has been massive weight loss. And no, I don't have AIDS. Thank you for asking. As far as I know, but I've lost 14 pounds and that's great. And I mean, I feel good. I look good. I'm leaned out, man. But I don't really want to lose any more weight. So I'm going to cool it on the cardio. And that's the only thing I changed. I've been working out my whole life. I didn't change anything. The only things that changed were C60 Purple Power and Chemical Free Body got incorporated in. So if you're interested in it, you can go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro and take a look there. And when you check out, use the promo code macro and just see. And that I am 100% honest. I'm being truthful here. I have lost 14 pounds from this stuff. I'm not saying that will happen for you. I'm just saying it happened to me. So take that for what you will. And of course, Prepare with Macro Aggressions. That's my Patriot Supply. Great sponsor for us. And given the topics we've been covering, I think it's appropriate that we think about these things. Obviously, we did an episode a couple weeks ago that was talking about getting ready. And we should all be thinking about getting ready. And these earthquake kits, you know, I called them earthquake kits because when I was making them, I was in California. Call them whatever you want. They're like, you know, they're survival kits. You know, they're getting prepped kits. If you say earthquake or natural disaster, you know, depending on your geography, it's less scary for your family. You know what I mean? Like if you say, oh, this is definitely for the end of the, this is my end of the world kit, they'll be like, you're out of your mind. So name it something that's, you know, kind of like innocuous and doesn't freak your family out, or go to My Patriot Supply, and check out what they've got. You can go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com. That is the website landing page that My Patriot Supply made for us. And check out what they've got. I mean, this is one of these situations where I'm telling you right now, you are going to want to be, you know, a month early than a day late. And we are hearing about supply chain stuff. We've been hearing about it for a year. I've had limited issues with supply chain, but I feel like that's coming. I just feel like it. I don't want it to. I'm not trying to manifest that. I'm not trying to be a sales guy for this stuff. I just get yourself prepared, whether it's with preparewithmacroaggressions.com or whether it's your own earthquake kit that you want to build or whatever. Just please, please, please be thinking about it. So there's that. And hey, listen, if you want to rate the show, please feel free to rate the show. I got a 3-star rating. According to Chartable, sent me this email and they show some of the recent ratings. I got a 3-star rating from a guy. You want to know what his complaint was? His complaint is that I talk too slow. I mean, honestly, either this guy has had a stroke or he's was listening to a different podcast. I'm up for constructive criticism, man. Let me have it. But talking too slow, I don't think so. You might want to have your head examined for that. So if you like the show, feel free to rate it. Feel free to share it with your friends and family, because that's how it grows. And I certainly do appreciate it. Well, I don't normally take episode requests, but let me tell you about how I'm taking an episode request, right? somebody emailed in and said they were curious to know what my top 10 lists were for, like, books and podcasts and things like that. And I was like, well, I don't have a top 10 list because I'm not 11, but I do have sort of a mental checklist of the things that I liked and, you know, the books and websites that in favorite conspiracies and shows that I'm into, all that stuff. And it occurred to me, well, let's talk about some of that stuff, because I'm, you know, we're all influenced by other people, and some of my biggest influences, you know, in terms of, like, we're talking about writing books, and the third book, Hypocrisy, will be coming out pretty soon. And it led me to think, like, well, who inspired me to start writing, you know? And it's been a variety of people, obviously, but I wanted to mention who they are and mention some of their books. Because if you like my stuff and I'm sort of inspired by these people, well, then it stands to reason that you might like their stuff too. And it also kind of plays into, like, how we get started on this whole, like, how did you get into these topics? How did I get into these topics? I can tell you how I got into these topics. One of the things that really did it for me, the book, and I've been vocal about this, but the book that really, like, woke me up was Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins. Now, John Perkins wrote this book. It sold, I don't know, 5 or 6 or 7 million copies, which is, like, impossible to do. I mean, seemingly impossible to do. And what it's about, for those of you that haven't read it, I would suggest you read it if you're interested in how, well, let's just call it international finance works, and big business too. So John Perkins worked for a company called Maine, which is the equivalent today of Halliburton. And he worked there in the 60s and 70s. And what he would do was, they're a multinational engineering firm. They would build, like, hydroelectric power plants and nuclear reactors and, you know, the big projects, the big, big things. And he would go around from country to country and convince these countries that they needed to build a hydroelectric power plant and that they should use his company, Maine, to do it. Oh, and by the way, I've already got the loan, like, lined up for you through the IMF and World Bank. And so he would approach countries like Ecuador and he'd say, look, your topography is amazing for this dam. We could put this hydroelectric power plant here. It'll be so phenomenal for your society, because it'll go in, it'll pay for itself in just a couple of years, because it's going to generate so much electricity, and then you're able to bring electricity to your people and think about them. They'll be able to read at night. You know, the children will be able to learn at night. Now, you know, the way it is currently, you have no electricity. Well, we're, you know, sales pitch, right? So he gets the country in on signing on to this IMF World Bank loan to build this hydroelectric power plant that's going to pay for itself, right? And then the years go by and it doesn't pay for itself, right? They fall behind on their payments almost immediately because it was never meant to pencil out. And so then he would go back to them and say, hey guys, look, you're behind on your payments and you know, maybe we can work something out. If you can't afford it, maybe you can, like, vote our way in a UN resolution, or you can privatize your fishing industry and let our buddies buy it, or you can put a U.S. military base here or whatever, something, some deal. And that was, so I'm reading this book in March of 2007 while I'm living in Las Vegas doing real estate. And I'm as I'm reading this book, it's occurring to me that the IMF and World Bank are loaning out money that just comes right out of a computer that their buddies at the Fed just type in, and or the BIS or wherever, type in, and it just magically appears. And then they loan this money out at interest, and when you fall behind, they take back tangible assets. It's a brilliant scam. And so as I'm reading Perkins' book and it's breaking my brain, I'm going, oh shit, wait a second. We're doing this here in Las Vegas. We're just doing it on a smaller scale. We're loaning money to people so that they can buy houses that they're never going to be able to afford and pay for. And then when they fall behind in their loan, we'll take back the tangible asset. Not we, but the lender, you know. And it occurred to me that this was a gigantic scam. And that was one of the first things that really sent me down this path. So that's why when people ask me, like, what is the book that inspired you? I've read other books that are better than Confessions of an Economic Hitman, but no book where I had that like aha moment, like, oh shit, now I understand what's going on. And it's rare when you get that. So I that one's on my list for sure. It's at the top of my list. Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins. Buy that book, read it. You won't regret it. The world will make a lot more sense to you if you do that. Then, you know, sort of a different, like really different book, but equally eye-opening to me was Fingerprints of the Gods by Graham Hancock. And once again, one of those books that just like super popular for some reason. He sold 10 million copies of this book because it's great. You know, I don't know how that marketing campaign was. I'd love to figure out how to sell 10 million copies of a book, but apparently everyone kind of figured out all at once how amazing this book is. And so I'm going to, you know, I'll tell you a little bit about these books, but I'm not going to spoil them for you. But Fingerprints of the Gods talks about how something happened on this planet 11,800 years ago, and then again 10,600 years ago, where Graham speculates and, well, backs it up with quite a bit of evidence. And since he wrote the book, I think even more evidence has come out that it appears that a fragment of a comet struck, which created like a cataclysm. And then when the comet came back around like 1100 years later, the second piece came in and did sort of like a double whammy. Geological terms, it's a double whammy when it, you know, within 1100 years, that's nothing for the planet, obviously. But what this book explains and shows is how a lot of the architecture, a lot of the culture in various places all around the world was saying the same thing at the same time, you know, showing picture, the Quetzalcoatl and these pictures of this white man with the long hair coming into town and explaining how agriculture works and farming and all, bringing these concepts to humanity. And then they're making sculptures of this guy and they're matching up all around the world. It just makes you think about what the fuck is going on here. You know, like what is really happening? And they're talking about spaceships and things like that. And this guy just kind of appears and then disappears. And it's a trip, man. And Graham is just, he's just the best. And I was really lucky. I had a chance to meet him when he came through Denver a little while ago and chat with him when he was releasing his most current book, America Before. And anyway, it's fascinating because he's a guy that's out there in the field, so to speak. You know, when he's writing about, like, you know, he's writing like books like Supernatural and things like that. He's writing about these sunken ruins. He's scuba diving 200 times off the coast of Japan, you know, in and, you know, as an expert diver, he's doing all the dives himself to go down there and see it. He's going to Peru. He's going to Egypt. He's going to all these places and seeing it all for himself. I just love that. I just love that about Graham. And obviously, I think most people have gotten to know him, so to speak, or know of him from being on Rogan so many times. And there's a good one with him with Randall Carlson on with Rogan about 5 years ago, 2016, I think it came out. That's a good one, a good interview to check out if you're interested in that. So Fingerprints of the Gods, it'll wake you up, but in a different way. You know, it'll make you feel a tiny bit insignificant because these things had gone on, you know, thousands of years ago, and they're, you know, it'll change your perspective on things. And I think that that's important. And of course, you know, look, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if it wasn't for David Icke, period. And I love his books. You know, I've watched plenty of his presentations. I've been to presentations. I've chatted with him on this show. I've chatted with him in Mexico. You know, I mean, the guy is on my Mount Rushmore. There's no doubt about it. And his book, The Trigger, is really important. And I think, considering where we are right now with the 20th anniversary of 9/11, I think it's even more important for people to go get a copy of The Trigger. And it's big, man. It's like War and Peace big. And I read that, you know, I read the bulk of it in Mexico. When I was in Mexico, when I got it from him, I started reading it, and I wound up in Mexico for a while and read the book there. So I think people should get into it. I think it will explain 9/11 in a deep way. And I'm going to do a 9/11 episode pretty soon, a monologue on it, because obviously we're coming up to that time. I've got Scott Horton scheduled to come on as well. We're going to talk about 9/11 in the context of Afghanistan. So keep your eyes open for that interview that will be happening pretty soon. But The Trigger is a book that will fill in some of the gaps for you on 9/11, on who was behind it, who had advanced knowledge of it, and things like that. I like the financial books. I liked Griftopia by Matt Taibbi. I like anything Matt Taibbi writes, to be honest with you. I just dig his style. It works for me. Griftopia is amazing, and Matt has a deep understanding of the financial world. So it's important, you know, he can take a topic like collateralized debt obligations and make it not boring, which is a skill. And I think that once again, like when you understand sort of how these frauds work on Wall Street, it's like seeing a magician's trick where you can never go back to not knowing it. You know, you always kind of have that in the back of your mind. So Griftopia is an amazing book, real, you know, Wall Street heavy, if you're into that sort of thing. Really, if you just picked anything from Matt Taibbi, you'd probably be happy, because he has that ability to take some rather, you know, when you're talking about finance, it's kind of a little boring, but he can frame it in a way that makes it interesting, and he's got a good sense of humor too, which keeps you hanging in there. So I appreciate Matt's work, and really, I'm just saying all these nice things about Matt Taibbi because I desperately want to be let into his fantasy football league that I know he is running. So if anyone knows Matt Taibbi out there, tell him I want on that fantasy football league backup list for maybe next season. And I'll wrap the book topic up with a more obscure one that most people don't know, but I've got it on my bookshelf and I've read it and it'll fuck with your head real good. And it's called Who Built the Moon? Who Built the Moon by Alan Butler. Oh man. I learned about this from David. You got to read this book. there's a line in it that's like kind of brilliant. It says, I'll paraphrase it, but it says that, you know, by all accounts, statistically speaking, the moon should not exist. It statistically should be observational error because it's too close to us. It's 1/400th the size of the sun, and it's 1/400th the distance of the sun, which makes it line up perfectly to create these eclipses and things like that. And these guys just run out all the science behind it, and they just go, look, I'm telling you right now that the moon shouldn't be here. And you read that book and you go, I'll be damned, the moon isn't here, you know? And then you hear David talk about Credo Mutwa and the these Zulu tribesmen, you know, and their stories about a time before the moon. And you're like, oh, wait, what? And so they have legends and tales of a time when their people existed before the moon was there. So you're like, okay. And they weren't talking about being around millions of years ago. They're talking about, you know, as recently as maybe 20,000 years ago that the moon wasn't here. So I don't know. I'm not an astronomer. I don't know how you're going to fact check the guys, you know, in Africa that have this as part of their folklore, but there's some questions about it. And the moon is a very mysterious place. And I think people that are interested in that, if you're interested in the moon, like even a little bit, dude, go get this book. It'll blow your mind. So, all right. Where do I get my information? People have asked me, like, what websites do I check out on a regular basis? The answer is I go to a lot of places. I get very easily distracted, you know, and down rabbit holes. And on this page, you know, I wind up on some obscure website. I'll tell you where I don't go, not because I have any problem with it, but I don't think I've ever really spent more than 2 minutes on Reddit. And I'm sure there's a lot of good stuff there, but it just seems like, I don't know, I never go there. But I'll tell you where I do go. I go to Activist Post all the time. Activist Post has really good information if you're into the topics we're into. And from time to time, I submit articles over there too, because I just like the team. I think they're doing good stuff. Obviously, I love their stuff. That's why I submitted articles to them. Like, hey, well, you want to have any of my things there? So sometimes you'll see me on there. I tested out a chapter from the book out on the site about 6 months ago, just to see how it would play. So anyway, Activist Post has got great stuff. Zero Hedge too. Zero Hedge is a little bit more mainstream, but you know what I found about it is that they actually do a pretty good job of presenting both sides. So like you'll see a headline there and it'll be like something like some pro mask headline, and I'll be like, oh God, you know, like I'll just kind of like roll my eyes or something. But then the next article will be like an anti-mask one that is totally on the other side of the narrative. And I always feel pretty good that Zero Hedge does that. I don't think they're perfect, but I feel like they're as balanced as you can get right now. And they, you know, and they have a decent selection of things. It's not just finance and politics, but you'll get sports in there every now and then. But it's all in celebrity things. So I like those as websites. DavidIke.com, because Rich Willett, who runs that, and he's into a variety of topics. And so they've got international articles, a lot of, and they break it down by like UK specific, Europe, Asia, United States. So wherever you are geographically, you can sort of get to some news on your region real easily. And if you want anything having to do with David, obviously it's there, but it's not limited to that. I think I like the topics that they cover. They get into a lot of health and wellness things. So DavidIke.com is not just reptilians. You know, it's not just that. It's news. It's a legitimate, great source of news out there. Not CNN type news, of course, but the good stuff. Speaking of that, I like IntelliHub. IntelliHub is run by Shepard Ambellus. He's been on the show before. Shepard is great, man. He is convinced we are going to get hit by an asteroid, and I'm not entirely sure that he's wrong. And I'm not entirely sure that we don't deserve to be hit by an asteroid as well. It's possible after the madness we've seen for the last year and a half or so. But I think IntelliHub, and it gets a little bit more into like the conspiratorial stuff, and there's a lot of astrological, not, how do I say that? Not astrology, but space related news. Let's just put it that way. If there's anything like on a near Earth trajectory, IntelliHub and Shepard Ambellus is all over it. So I like that as an option. Free Thought Project. I go there all the time. It's a great source for real balanced news. Jason Bassler's involved in that. He's also been on the show, but the reason why these guys have been on the show or that I'm talking about is because I love their stuff. I've been reading their stuff for years and years and years. So I would reach out to them and say like, hey, would you like to come on the show? So I'm not saying I like their stuff because they've been on the show. They've been on the show because I like their stuff, because I think they're doing great stuff. And Jason Bassler does Policing the Police and Free Thought Project, and their work is amazing. It's just one of those, I'm just giving ideas for things. If you're interested, you can go check it out, maybe bookmark it and look from time to time. It's just a different source, because I know a lot of people are like, where do I go? You've got all this information about all these crazy things, and like, where do I go to find this? Well, these are some of the places that you go. Unlimited Hangout is Whitney Webb's website. She's doing great work there. Check that out. A sort of a subset of that is thelastamericanvagabond.com, which she's working with Ryan over there and Derek Bros, and they're doing the best work out there. I think The Last American Vagabond with Ryan Christian and Whitney Webb and Derek Bros and Taylor Hudak, and I think they might be doing the best work. I'm not saying they get it every aspect of every single story right. Who does, really? I think they do a pretty good job. I think they get it right. I'll tell you what I'm positive of. I'm absolutely certain that they are trying to get it right. Can't say that about every media organization, obviously, but The Last American Vagabond, if they don't get it right, if they miss it for some reason, it wasn't because it wasn't for a lack of effort on their part. They're honest. They're calling it like the way they see it in the face of censorship, and they know they're going to get blasted, and I'll tell you what, here's the best endorsement I can give The Last American Vagabond. They've been kicked off of a bunch of platforms. They've had their PayPal shut off. They've had their Patreon shut off. They've had all these things shut off. And that's what you do when you're getting too close to the truth. So anybody who's like getting all of their social medias and getting their payment process, if you're getting your payment processing shut off, if you're getting your MailChimp account shut off, you're doing something right, actually. You're doing something that is making the establishment very nervous, to the point where they feel like they have to take away your email distribution abilities. Like that's dirty, but whatever. So I think those are good sources, good websites. And then of course, you know, this show, at least the interview portion, goes out on Odyssey, which is library is the parent company. Odyssey is the channel. And I think people should start getting comfortable looking for videos over there. They've got a lot of stuff. They've got lots of content creators over there are posting. They make it easy to sync your library from YouTube, your like your YouTube channel over to Odyssey, just like a one-click button sort of deal, which I know doesn't mean much for most of you, but just so you know, content creators go, "Ugh, I don't want to like upload all of my stuff like one video at a time. It'll take forever." But Odyssey's like, no, no, no. All you have to do is just click this little button here, and like we have it automated. It'll sync it, and then we'll send you an email when it's done in like 4 days. So because of that, content creators are like, oh, okay, well that's easy. Then I'll go to Odyssey. So go to Odyssey and check it out. Start watching your videos there. And obviously, if you're interested, you can go back a couple months. And I had Jeremy Kaufman on the show, and he is the founder and CEO of Library, and he's a good dude. So they're on the right path. They're on the right track. They're being investigated by the Securities and Exchange Commission, which means they're doing something right. And if you're kind of wondering where to go for video content, Odyssey is a place. The show also, Macroaggressions also lives on Rockfin. That's been a great censorship free platform for us as content creators and as content viewers, which I am obviously as well. So I'm on there watching everybody else's videos all the time. So go, you can sign up for free too, by the way. You don't have to pay. There is a paid version of Rockfin that's $10, and it's like buying yourself a ticket into the buffet, and you get whatever you want. You get my premium content, Whitney Webbs, Jason Burmes, Jimmy Dore, all those people. They're all there doing premium content. And if you pay $10, you get all their premium content for that price. But you can go on there for free as well and watch the free content, which is quite a bit. So I just think that we got to start making the, you know, since we're bookmarking websites, just bookmark that and just kind of get yourself used to going over there. Cause YouTube's getting rid of everybody. It's happening. It's still happening. So I just think that we should probably be, you know, somewhat prepared for that. All right, so this is the question that I get asked a whole lot, and I'm glad to share it. And that is, what other podcasts am I into? What shows am I watching or listening to? And I'll tell you, and I don't care. And not only do I not care if you leave my show to go over there and watch or listen to them, I encourage you to. You know, maybe not in the middle of the episode, but. Incorporate some of these shows into your entertainment diet, because they're, in my opinion, they're fantastic. Not everybody's going to love every one of them, obviously, but if you're looking to mix it up a little bit and keep things fresh, go check out some of these shows. Okay. My number one favorite podcast of all time. And yes, I realize that I have my own with Macroaggressions and The Union of the Unwanted. It's neither of those two, though I love them very much because they are my own children. My favorite podcast is OBDM. I've been vocal about this from the beginning. It stands for Our Big Dumb Mouth. And my co-host, one of my co-hosts at the Union of the Unwanted, Midnight Mike, it's his show. It is so ridiculous and stupid and funny and great that I just cannot recommend it enough. You may hate it though. I full disclosure, you may go, what is he talking about? Cause it's a bit wacky, and you probably have to, Mike will tell you, you have to listen to two episodes in order to get hooked, but it is bananas what they're doing over there. So I suggest everybody go check out OBDM, obdmpod.com. I think it's been, I don't know that they're even doing YouTube so much anymore. It's on Twitch now. I know it's on DLive, but it's an audio podcast too. So you can just subscribe to it and pull it down. It's, oh my God, it's fantastic. And they do two episodes a week. So enjoy. If you're into like a daily show, you want to know what my favorite nightly show is. And I listen to it at least a couple times a week. I try to do it every, you know, five nights a week, but it my schedule's too crazy. Quite frankly is the greatest show I cannot get enough of Quite Frankly. I'll be honest with you. It's so funny. And he does such a good job. Frank does such a great job. And I feel like he sees – if you like my show, I feel like you'll like his show. But I think his show is better than my show because of the production – I don't know. I just think I'm into his show a whole lot. So if you're looking for a nice little nightly show, it's like a 2-hour show. It goes on at 7 o'clock at night on the Eastern time, Monday through Friday. It's like the old time, you know, when you had like a TV show that was on at a certain time on a certain day of the week, and you're like, oh, I got to get home in order to see it. Nah, you can obviously get these as like podcasts or whatever, but it's on live, you know, at that specific time. And there's something, I don't know, there's something kind of cool about that. So, okay. I am a kind of a space geek. Like I'm fascinated with what we're doing with UFOs, what we're doing with rockets, you know, all that stuff. I'm just interested in it. And, so I'm really into Dark Journalist. Are you familiar with that show on YouTube? It's phenomenal. Daniel List is the host. The show is called Dark Journalist. Sometimes he has guests on, but he goes deep into the UFO connection, the secret governments that are connected to it. Fascinating stuff, man. And he's so good at his job. He gets really deep into these ideas and exdagonography. He's done a 100-part series on, literally 100-part series on the letter X, the steganography in the letter X throughout the secret space programs and everything. I mean, if you ask me, I would have thought you could do maybe 2 shows on that. He's done over 100. And every time I watch, it's something new that I've never heard. I am blown away. So if you're into UFOs, if you're into secret technology, if you're into like Kennedy type stuff, you know, the way that whole thing played out, you will love Dark Journalist. So amazing. One of the guests that he has on all the time is Joseph P. Farrell. Joseph P. Farrell has his own little show that he does like every other week or so, or once a week, for like 20 minutes. And it's on YouTube. It's called News from the Nefarium. And it's just him talking in the camera. And there's literally no production value on this, but he's great. He's written, I don't know, maybe like 15 books on Egypt and Nazis. And I mean, he knows more about the SS and the secret space program and all that stuff than anybody I've ever heard of before. And he's a really great researcher and he's got a funny way about him. And I just think Joseph P. Farrell is phenomenal. So if you're interested, you can check out his stuff. And a guy that I put in the same kind of category with him, and I've mentioned him a bunch on this show, is Cliff High. I'll watch anything Cliff does. I like, and you have to go on BitChute now, I think, to find it, because the YouTube's, he had like 100,000 people on YouTube, but I think he can't put anything on there because they're on to him. And he's so smart and he's so technical and he's got a really easy way about him where he can explain complicated things in a way that makes sense to stupid people. And I appreciate that because we all need that. And so if you're interested, and he's doing a big series on woo, you know, he's doing this. It's kind of like the X-steganography thing. Like, how many episodes can you do on woo? The answer is as many as he wants, because every time he does a new one, it's shit I've never heard before, and it starts getting me thinking about things in a new way. So Cliff High is amazing. That's 1F Cliff, C-L-I-F. Ripple Effect. I'm a little biased, though, because Ricky is one of my Union of the Unwanted partners, but Ricky Verandas is doing the Ripple Effect, and it's a long show, and he goes really deep into some topics. It's got a Rogan quality to it, where there's no script or anything like that. He's got a guest on, and they go They go where you think they'll go, and then they go to another level and they get real deep. And Ricky's great at getting people to talk to him. It's the Portuguese in him. He'll tell you that we're big talkers, you know. So he can talk to these people, and I find his show to be one of the best ones out there. It's really fascinating. And then of course, you know, we've got Everybody Loves Sam from Tinfoil Hat, the fourth member of the Union of the Unwanted. So I've got all of my guys on my list, but I've got all my guys on my list because I love their stuff. You know, I love Tinfoil Hat, and I've been so happy to have Sam on this show and to have been on Sam's show. And it's all, you know, he's found a way to make conspiracies fun and not all scary. And yes, we can get dark and we can talk about the scary things, but Sam Tripoli is really good at making conspiracies funny. And when you're laughing at something, then you're a little bit more disarmed. And if you're a little bit, you need to be a little bit more disarmed to appreciate this information. So I think that he has, whether intentional or not, he's done something that is genius. He's blended comedy with conspiracy in a way that really works. And so it gets you almost have permission to go talk about these crazy things, because it's all wrapped in this blanket of, we're just having fun, man. We're just laughing. I'm a comedian. What do I know? I don't know anything. I'm not taking this seriously. I'm a stand-up comedian. You know, so because of that, he gets a pass. He gets to talk about these things in a way that's very disarming. And the next thing you know, you're having a serious conversation about some amazing things on Tinfoil Hat. But it's even the name of the show is like a dig at the ridiculous nature of some of these topics. So I just, everything about it works for me. And, well, the first guest I had on my show was Kev Baker. And the reason is because Kev is my favorite. We're not supposed to have favorites, right? Kev's my favorite. He's like a long lost brother, and we just, he makes me laugh all the time. And I do his show, the Kev Baker Show, once a month. I've done it once a month for the last 3 years. And we just click. It's a 2-hour show. It's on Truth Frequency Radio. You can find it on YouTube as well. You can find it. He's over on Odyssey now, he's starting his channel on Odyssey now, I know. So take a look over there. He's into all the fun topics that we're into, and he's got the right disposition for it. He just throws his hands up and goes, "I don't know anything, man. I'm just talking. We're just talking, you know. Don't take my advice. Don't take me seriously. We're just talking about the Loch Ness Monster." And by the way, he's Scottish. He grew up in Loch Ness. So, you know, hey, we're just having fun. We're just talking about this. So because he's got that right attitude where it's all very casual, you wind up getting into the best conversations. So the people that he has on there, you watch it before they know, they don't even know what's hit them. Next thing they know, they're talking to Kev about all kinds of crazy things and opening up to him, because he's got that personality that you just feel like you've known him forever. And so I love Kev Baker. So check out the Kev Baker Show on Truth Frequency Radio. And so, side note on that, from Kev, I met Jimmy Jean. Jimmy Jean does a show called Into the Microcosm, and that's on aftermath.fm. So, you know, Clyde Lewis is there. Clyde Lewis is the big headline at aftermath.fm. And Jimmy Jean comes on after Clyde. He follows Clyde. And Jimmy's show, man, I've been like getting into it. He's on late at night, and I'll go on and maybe see if I'm on YouTube for whatever reason, or, you know, I'll check who's live right now. And if he's live, I'll always click on. He's got this great blend of like, brings a lot of music to it. So if you want to get some like really cool, good jams, and then Jimmy will go into like some deep history of, you know, Laurel Canyon or something that you weren't expecting. And he'll have like a crazy story that he was a part of back in the 70s. And you're next thing you know, you're just like, he just tells the best stories. So you've got to check out Jimmy Jean Into the Microcosm on aftermath.fm or go on YouTube. He's on there. It's a good old fashioned radio show with a lot of music, but infused with some deep topics. And I was listening to him get in. He had some guests on a couple nights ago. They were getting deep into the Iran situation, and it was fascinating to me. I wound up like listening to that on my computer till like midnight. And I was like, God, I had no idea about any of this stuff. And I sent him an email and I said, just, that was like it was like being in a classroom listening to his show, but I didn't feel like I was sitting in class. You know, it was just, I was getting educated in a whole new way. It was fascinating. So put that on your list, man. Higher Side Chats too. Higher Side Chats. Greg Carlwood's been doing it for a while. I have to thank Greg because Greg introduced me to Sam Tripoli, and because of Sam, the Union of the Unwanted happened. And so that wouldn't have happened without Greg Carlwood. And I consider him to be I think when it comes to the interview game, he's maybe the best. You know, he reads the books. You know, he'll have the author on, but he'll read the book in advance. We don't all do that. I don't have time to read everybody's book in advance. I'd love to, and I plan to. I've got a big stack of books I have to read, but Greg reads them all, and so when you have that conversation with him, and I've done his show a couple times, when you have that conversation with him, you're going for a ride, because he knows the book too, and he's going to ask a bunch of really good questions. And so that's why his show works so well, is because he's invested in the person that he's interviewing. He's invested his time into learning about what these people are writing about or talking about. So he comes in armed. And I don't mean that in a confrontational way. I mean, he comes in prepared is what I mean, which is the reason why his intros are so good. You know what I mean? If you listen to the Higher Side Chats, just listen to the intro for the person. It's always the best intro. You know, I mean, he's a wordsmith, and I love that. So put that on your list along with, you know, my first like conspiracy that I really got into was Bigfoot. And I didn't follow it, but I just remember being a kid and that TV show In Search Of came on, you know, with Leonard Nimoy in like the mid 70s, late 70s. And I remember this Bigfoot story, and it was so, it was like these people had rented this house out in the woods, and there was like Bigfoot, and they were throwing rocks at it. And I was like, oh my God, you know, I was like a little kid, and I was totally freaked out. Well, Tony Merkel is a friend of mine, and there wouldn't be a show if it wasn't for Tony. He's got a show called The Confessionals, and it's about Bigfoot and paranormal stuff. And if you're into that, dude, you've got to check out his show, because it'll scare the shit out of you. So his show is great. And if you're wondering, you know, what does the goddamn line say, Tony? Well, that is directed at Tony Merkel. So check out The Confessionals for your, you know, your late night, like maybe smokable late night listen session. That'll be the one that'll get you there. I love No Agenda. You know, I love what they're doing there, that community that they've built. Everybody knows about them. I love Grammarica. Grammarica's, I put that sort of in the Higher Side Chats category too. Those guys have been doing it a long time. They're really good, and they know, and they get interesting people on. So I can pick like just any random episode of Grammarica and not even know who the person is that they're interviewing. Just listen to it and be like, oh my God, every time it's good. It's consistently good. Short little videos. short little fun celebrity videos if you want to just like take a break from work and just kind of like bullshit on your computer, then Jamie Deluxe. I mean, he's doing it. He's doing great little celebrity videos, little quick ones. And he's got this, he's got the right personality for it. So, I'm into that. So those are the shows that I'm into. I, you know, not limited to those. I like America Unplugged with Billy Ray Valentine. He gets pretty down in the weeds with people, and they start having some real conversations on his show. I like that a whole lot. And if you're interested in like if you're at work and you just want to put something on and forget about it, go to fringe.fm. It's an online radio station. They carry Macroaggressions on Fringe FM on like a scheduled time on Monday nights and Friday nights at like 5 o'clock Pacific time, I think, both of those. And they carry a bunch of podcasts now, and they've got interesting shows on there. I would just recommend Fringe FM. Yeah, check it out. So, okay, well, we'll wrap up with this, because this is what the email question was. It was really, what are your favorite conspiracies? And I was like, what do you mean my favorite? You know, like, because that sounds kind of bad. What if 9/11 is my favorite conspiracy? You know what I mean? It sounds crazy if you say something like that. But like, what do I consider like the most interesting ones? Well, you know, really the ones that I think are the most interesting are the ones that I don't cover all that much, because I don't, maybe it's because I find them interesting because I don't know enough about them. But like, Antarctica is really high on my list. I don't know if it's the number one on my list, but I'm always into anything. Like if I'm on Odyssey or Rockfin or YouTube or someplace like that's got videos and I'm just kind of scrolling, if there's something that's like Antarctica related, I'm probably going to click on it. I just am. I'm just fascinated. I'm fascinated with the UFO component to that, you know, possible. I'm interested with the New Schwabenland, the Nazi base there in Antarctica. I'm interested in the Nazi submarine access there. I'm interested in that story of the big, seemingly entrance to the hollow earth at a place that's like blocked off where you're not allowed to fly airplanes. I'm into all of it, is what I'm trying to say. If it's Antarctica related, I'm interested in it. I don't know what the fuck is going on down there. I don't have any special knowledge. I don't know somebody that's, I know as much about that as I probably, you guys know more about it than I do, than I know, more than likely, but I'm just interested in it. I'm just curious. And so as a subset of that, then since I mentioned like the Nazi base in Antarctica, I think it goes without saying, I'm also interested in the Nazi base in South America as well. That whole storyline, fascinating to me. It makes sense too. I mean, everyone's like, oh, Adolf Hitler killed himself in his bunker. Really? What part of Adolf Hitler's personality that you saw in all these videos made you think that guy wasn't interested in preserving his life and sneaking out the back door? Everything said that guy would be on a submarine to Argentina, you know, 10 times out of 10. So I'm interested in that. I'm interested in the Nazis leaving and maybe going, well, definitely going to Antarctica and definitely going to South America, but what were they doing there? What the fuck were they doing there? You know, were they building the Fourth Reich? Maybe. And I mentioned kind of that hollow earth component, that inner earth. I like that storyline as well. I don't know. It doesn't. Yeah, I do know that there's a massive cave system. We know about that. And we also know that they have been building underground bases in the United States, and I think throughout the world, definitely throughout the world, for a long, long time. But we know those things. So now Hollow Earth, I don't know that that means that the whole place is all hollowed out, but does it mean caverns inside there? Yeah. Again, I don't know shit about it. But I'm interested. I want to know about ant people. I've heard the stories. Nibiru and Planet X. I'm interested in those too. I am. I don't know what to make of it. I just don't, you know. So, but I like to read up on it. I don't know. I don't even know who I would talk to if I was looking to bring someone on the show that could talk to me. I don't even know who would be considered like the expert on Planet X, Nibiru type stuff. Because it seems like everybody that talks about that always says like, oh, it's going to slam into us, or oh, it'll be appearing in our atmosphere, like we'll be able to see it on the, you know, in 2014, and then like 2014 comes and goes, and then it's like, hey, where'd that guy go that was talking about how we were going to see Nibiru, and like vanishes, right? So I think there were always a bunch of predictions about it, and I don't think any of them, obviously none of them, came true. So I'm not saying that I believe that it's necessarily a thing. I believe that it could be a thing, and I'm interested in it. I'm interested in knowing more about it. I'm interested in knowing if it's total horseshit too, which it very well may be. But there's a lot of scientists talking about how, you know, how it's a possibility. Actually, how it's a probability. So I don't know. But I'm interested in it. And as kind of like a subset of that, I'm just interested in the UFO topic in general. Aren't you? Isn't that fascinating? I mean, we've talked a little bit about like with To the Stars Academy and that joke that they're running there with all the CIA guys. So I'm not listening to them, but I'm interested in what's happening with UFOs. I don't have any special knowledge on it. Again, I've never had any sort of, I've never seen one. I've never had contact with any, I've never had anything like that happen. But I believe people that say that they have, and I mean, obviously you take it on a case by case basis, but I believe that there are enough people talking about these things. In fact, I know people that have had experiences with it. And their story sounded believable to me, but I guess it might be one of those things that, you know, until it actually happens to you, you might always be just, you know, there might always be just a slight hesitation to fully believe it just in case. But it's one of the more fascinating topics out there. And if you're talking about UFOs and obviously I mentioned David Icke's books and things like that, then you wind up in the reptilian camp, you know, where you wind up on that topic. And that's a good way to get people to think you're insane, right? Is to start talking about how there might be reptilians, shape-shifting lizard people, you know, that gets you like disqualified from a lot of conversations when you start talking about that stuff. But the reality is, we probably shouldn't be as dismissive of that as maybe everyone would like you to believe, that there may be some value in looking into that, because there's a lot of different people over a lot of different periods of time that have talked about reptilian influences and things like that, that there may be something to that. I don't know. Once again, I haven't had that experience. I haven't had the Billy Corgan experience where he tells Howard Stern about how he saw a guy shapeshift at a party and that he can't explain it. And he said, I saw something I cannot explain. And he said, I was sober. I was at a party and I saw this. And the person changed forms and then made sure that I knew that they had changed forms, you know? And so, I mean, I don't know. Isn't that more interesting than just about everything on television? Except maybe 90 Day Fiancé. Definitely 90 Day Fiancé is on the list. Hey, listen, can't be Bigfoot every day, right? Sometimes I got to see what these people are doing online, making bad decisions, marrying people around the globe that they've never actually met in person, you know? But who are we to judge? So I thought this would be a fun show to do, just a little bit lighter. You know, we're about to come up on the 9/11 topic where we get super heavy, you know? So we're just going to have a fun one today. If you like the show, or if you want to rate the show as with 3 stars, because I didn't talk fast enough, then you can do so. You prick, whoever you are out there. I need to slow down, if anything. My God. Thank you, though, for listening and for sharing. Please take the additional step of sharing this show with your friends if you think they might be interested in it. And if you want to connect with me, you can do so through the website, The Octopus of Global Control. Thanks, everybody. Take care.